High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed.
Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
Hello, I'm Dr. Michael Mosley, and I want to let you know about my new immersive BBC Radio 4 podcast series, Deep Calm. It's all about how to tap into and activate a remarkable system that we all have, hardwired inside of us, our relaxation response. And it's been developed to be listened to at any time you want to really unwind. I hope you'll listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Guess what decision we're about to make?
Horrible decision.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Horrible Decisions. I'm your girl Mandy B.
I'm Weezy. Welcome back for another episode.
That's right. Before we start though, I want to let y'all pussy assholes know we coming to the motherfucking South next. Okay, bitch.
Finally.
You know.
It's going to be like Baddie South, but Whore Half South.
Oh my God, not Baddie South.
I'm going to be swinging again, bitch. Remember motherfucking Orlando?
You are not going to be swinging.
You're okay,
not.
Well, tell that hold on, motherfucker. Come for my mama
here
this time.
Here we go. Y'all go to whorehive.com. We promise not to beat your ass at the Horrible Decisions Climax Tour. Get your tickets now for Orlando, October 12th. There are very few tickets left. So get your motherfucking tickets. We are also then going on the 19th to Atlanta, Georgia.
That is definitely going to sell out.
Y'all can't get tickets for Charlotte because it's been sold out.
Now, instead of using a resale site, what I would recommend, the day of the show, we'll make a post where if you guys can't make it, you know, you can buy a ticket
for Charlotte
somewhere.
For sure. And something then like London, October 28th.
At the Earth Theater.
At the Earth Theater. So again, go ahead to whorehive.com and get your motherfucking tickets to come see the motherfucking Climax Tour.
Season?
Damn, this is really not going to be monetized on YouTube, all that motherfucking. I got to get my motherfucking mouth right. Look at me, it's still saying motherfucking. God damn it.
I don't know if that shit is real, bro.
No?
I feel like there's so many rules, and I see people on Instagram now, they bleep out their words. They do all this shit, and I'm like, does it really fucking work?
Fuck it. Well, we just said fucking, damn it, and mo all again. But I guess, solo episode, no guest this week, so we'll start with a quick catch-up. And I actually, in therapy, came to an awareness that I actually wanted to address here on this podcast, because where I'm trying to figure out, like, the lessons learned in this breakup, one that drove to me was the amount of empathy now and realization that I have for women who maybe I judged, like, through our home mails or listening. You know,
or me,
or you, or like, well, to me, it's more so the women that keep going back, That's more so the empathy or really coming over a heartbreak and me like not realizing why they can't jump back. I think celibacy has also been one of those journeys that women go on that I don't understand. So I've shown up on this pod lacking empathy because I genuinely didn't understand it because I had never experienced it. And so really looking at it as a lesson being learned from this relationship, I think has been one that I didn't acknowledge or even didn't realize I had until, you know, I was in therapy going through the things that I'm learning in hindsight. I think more about my value, my worth, trusting, trying to get back to trusting myself, but really more the understanding and empathy of other women that I may have judged in the past for, bitch, why can't you leave? How you keep going back? It's so dumb. Why you can't fuck your way through healing, celibacy, so you don't want no dick because this nigga did what? And I was really judgy in how I think I responded to, I mean, even to be clear, like one of my best friends, Carla, my mom, like my mom in her breakup has been celibate now for 3 years because of the damage that that last relationship caused. And I was really unaware and misunderstood in how a woman could go through those emotions. And now going through it, I'm like, wow, damn, women go through a lot. And so I just wanted to apologize to everyone that I may have been like, bitch, you dumb, bitch, you delusional, bitch, you weak, because it's a lot to really go through a heartbreak. And so I think that that's one of the things that I'm like, oh, wow, sorry.
I think there's been things that maybe would annoy me, but I never believed it. Like, I think.
What do you mean?
Like, I never believed that you really thought that. Like,
oh, I did. I thought bitches was delusional.
But I just didn't. I believe that you have such a hard exterior that, like, sometimes, like, you won't listen. So, like, when we listen to stories about, you know, people being in pain and shit like that, like, I think sometimes you could just only see through your own lens.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. And my own lens, unfortunately, did not have the experience of a real relationship, like, or a heartbreak.
There was an episode where you told me, maybe even during the pandemic, that you're an empath. And I remember thinking, like, no, she's not.
Oh, I mean, for the people that I love, I am. But, and again, when I have the experience of feeling something, like, so understanding now someone going through the loss of a grandparent, I have that now because now I understand what that feels like. Mm-hmm. Or someone having someone close to them battle cancer. I just went through that with my best friend. I only can really, realistically, as a human being, I can only see things through the lens of my own experience a lot of times. And so even though I listen to things, I never understood how someone could go back to someone who was abusive. Now, though I didn't experience physical abuse, mm-hmm. the emotional abuse 100% was there. The manipulation was there. I saw the lies. I knew the things he was doing and I chose to ignore it for whatever reason. And so now having experienced that, now I can have empathy for the people that have gone through that. Before, no. It didn't make sense to me. How the fuck you can't leave somebody that's abusing you? How are you with somebody that you have to question if they love you? How can you stay or why do you keep going back and repeating the same cycle? That didn't make sense to me because I hadn't done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I have, there's just a little bit more of an understanding to what can be created from these really strong emotional connections in a romantic relationship.
I mean, I think the thing that too is like when people embarrass you that you're dating, you almost have no choice but to like show your hand. Because it feels like when I have been embarrassed in the past, I was like that was the number one thing like I remember thinking was, I'm never going to get on here and tell my business with Old Bay because I have to be done because I know what it's like to look dumb. I know what it's like to be embarrassed in front of his friends or those women that he's sleeping with. But like, I can't imagine when you're piping somebody up to an audience and then you're like, never mind, he ain't shit. Like, that shit is tough.
I mean, to me,
it took me a long time.
But when things were good, it felt so good. And I'm also one of those that...
No, I mean, it shows that you really didn't know you'd go back.
Well, no, I mean, I did.
You thought you would go back after you were like, I'm done?
Because the breakups weren't on my behalf. he was breaking up with me. So when I was coming here, I was mad as fuck that I was broken up with somebody that I still wanted to be with. And so I think he knew that.
Bruh, you really came on this podcast and was being like, fuck that nigga.
But then he broke up
with me. And knew you would go back?
The dick was great. He was beautiful. And when I would even entertain.
Oh, nah, bitch.
When I would even
entertain. That's a Lulu.
Even when I would entertain other niggas, I would kind of miss him a little bit.
See, I'm not about to like.
I would miss him. Oh, no, but I'm finna talk my shit.
No, but you get very like, I'll never be again.
I'm a hypocrite. And yes, I'm a hypocrite.
Oh, bitch,
I like, there was
y'all see me come on here, and maybe a 1 out of 10, I'll
right, there was a part of me, I mean, but you've gone back to like, lover boy, you've gone back to fucking him, you've gone back to hospital bay before, there's been
yeah,
men.
But I never was like, fuck this nigga, like, old bay, bro, you was saying, fuck this nigga, I was really like, oh, she done.
Well, again, I think it was, A, I have a very strong emotional connection to this person, and a lot of the times, our breakups were, to me, unwarranted. But I also realized in looking up, like, signs of narcissism and stuff like that, like, we were breaking up because I was trying to hold him accountable, or I was questioning him about things that he didn't want to give me an answer for. Or there was, his insecurity was projecting because a really big moment was happening for me. Whether it be a show, whether it be something that I was really proud about or about to celebrate, a breakup would happen in that moment to where he would try to weaken me or bring me down. So I started picking up the patterns. Now looking into that, it's just like, oh, wow, did this nigga even really ever love me?
It's crazy how the universe, and maybe it's karma, maybe it's the universe needing to show us self. Like,
I done got karma. Even the bitch, like, from what I've said on this podcast.
No, I know.
The bartender who sat in front of me and was like, well, I knew about all of his lovers, so I think maybe he loved me more. I used to come on here and say, as a side chick, that I felt like my relationship to the married men meant a little bit more because they were being honest with me and lying.
But that's what I mean. I don't know if it's karma or us needing to learn humility. Like, I don't know if it's directly related to something bad you did to someone or if it's like the universe has to teach you this lesson.
The universe, my homegirl, that bitch be showing up for me. So I don't, that's why I'm
but
even
like,
just
this
like,
is, this is showing
a
up for you.
Way to get the lesson. But I don't think it's karmic. I think that, I got in a relationship during a pandemic. This was my first relationship. I'm dating now.
You said you don't think it's karmic.
No, I don't think it's karmic at all.
Just said it was karma.
No. Girl. I'm saying that the conversation with old girl was a little, to me, karmic in my thought process with these married men and how I was showing up as a side chick. And I was like, because now I'm viewing it a little different. Like, bitch, that nigga didn't love you more because he was honest to you.
Do you think, did you have a moment where... Because you said you don't think it was karmic. So for you, it's like, well, you didn't do something to those women. You were just sleeping with that dude, the married dude.
Yeah. I mean, to me, all of the lessons that I'm learning in this relationship, like, and I've brought this up in therapy too. I dated very transactionally in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there was, although I projected confidence, there was a lot of insecurities because of my weight, because of my finances. How I lived, I literally was bringing this up in my 20s. I genuinely did not think I would make a great partner. I would fuck a nigga for money. I did not have the best self-confidence because of my body. And realistically, what was I bringing to the table? I wasn't cooking for niggas. I didn't really know or care to cook either. But also, I had roommates. So I was just in a place where, am I even girlfriend material? I'm not wife material at all. And so I think that that's why I was having the casual sex and the transactional sex I was having. But from the pandemic to us building these businesses and how proud I am of myself and seeing how fucking dope of a partner I was to this nigga, there's a sense of, wow, I'm showing up as a whole different person. Financially, I'm in a place I've never been. I live by myself. I've been living by myself for the last few years. And I'm in the healthiest place I've been as an adult. Like, so I'm now like, wow, I'm showing up now as a woman that I've never known. And so how do I make sure that I get what I deserve? And I think I'm realizing I didn't think I deserved much from a lot, which is why the crumbs he gave me
were trash,
but I was eating it up like, ooh, I'm getting so much.
I know that nigga took your trash out more than I know anything else I think that he did to you.
And it was like, Now that I look back at it, that's the fucking bare minimum. Bitch, I got a cleaner now.
Honestly, it is interesting that you say, like, even I got sent a clip of you and I was like, I can't even believe, like, this is somebody I work with. And I remember it was maybe before or maybe it was after you experienced a loss. And it was like, damn, you really have to go through some shit. You said that if someone's parent died, you wouldn't care. They would have to, like, still come to work or you'd find someone else.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. That's still, I ain't changed with that thought process. Like, I think there needs to be communication. You could have grievance, but is someone else gonna pick up your shift? Like, I can have empathy and still want my fucking business ran. Like, I can't. I still
you said come, you would fire them I still in the clip from, I saw.
I still, well.
You said they were replaceable.
I mean, everyone's still replaceable in my mind.
You that think that what you went
that
through,
hasn't
though.
Lost, like, that hasn't lost on me, but I still run a business. I still come from a very corporate mindset. I have empathy, but do I have someone, is someone else going to pick up for you? I'm going to give you a couple of days. Can I afford in my businesses to give somebody grievance of 3 months not to come into work? No.
Bro, we ain't talking about 3 months.
But that's what I'm saying. So you can go to the funeral, yes. But if you just need all this time and can't show up to work because you're grieving, I got to let you go. That's still the way I put business and empathy is different than what I'm talking about regarding empathy with emotions and relationships.
I don't think it works like that. I think okay. We have to have empathy. Being an empathetic person means in every aspect, because what you're going through right now, there's just a breakup and you know how it's completely like shifted. You even said a few episodes ago, like, I don't even know if I know myself. Like,
I still don't.
Losing a parent. I mean, I can't relate. I'm very close to my parents. Like, I don't know. But I mean, I know with the people that work for me, I'm just thinking like, there's no way. I mean, Eden lost his mom. Who would I be to be like, not thinking that he needs all the time in the world? I don't need him to figure out the next shift. Like, I think we have to really choose our words wisely and think about what we're saying, because when something happens to you and your world crumbles, it's a lot easier to move on from it when you're better. So, I mean, like, a
bills,
year from now,
still need to get paid, even if you're grieving. Like, life and everything around you still moves on. So to me, there is, of course, a grieving period. You have to go to the funeral. You have to go to the wake. That's fine. But to me, no, someone saying I need 2 months off to grieve. Okay, that's not going to work for my business structure. Like, I really wish you, I hope the best for you, and I want you to heal, of course. But no, when I think business, unfortunately, I'm still very corporate, white man CEO. It's an awful way to think, I know. But I come from the space of corporate America where, okay, well, I still need someone to get the job done. So I hate that you're experiencing this, but someone else has to come in and do it. So actually, that clip is still very much me in that sense. Like, you're conflating my views on how to operate and run my business and the empathy there.
No. You talked about loss. That's why I brought it up.
Well, with the empathy that I have, though, for people grieving a relationship and moving on, that's completely different. Like, yeah, I lost my grandpa and I came in and went and spent time with my mom and sister and grandma and flew right back and had to record the next day. Like, but that's my way of viewing work. Work is very important for me, but also, I talked about it with my therapist. Work is where I find peace and freedom and distraction to not think about my grief. Like, literally coming in here a couple weeks ago and talking about not knowing myself and celibacy and all the things I found out about my ex, I broke into tears. When I'm working, like, really working on things, I don't have to think about my relationship.
You know what else people do, I think, as a way to distract themselves, but it's not always the smartest way? Partying. Like, I think
I don't do that.
Filling your schedule with
work for me,
with events.
Money, bitch.
Sometimes, like, if you're going through a breakup, that's not always the best thing. Like, if you don't learn how to just, like, sit by yourself, like, I've met so many men, more than women actually, that are constantly with a homeboy or, like, doing something, or they've always got a plan. I'm like, you don't know how to just go to movies by yourself. You don't know how to just go have dinner by yourself. You don't know how to just do anything. Like, I think that that's another key thing, too, that I implore anybody listening going through a breakup. You almost feel, in the beginning, I get it. We need our friends. We need our girl night out, whatever. But being alone is the thing that will get you over the hump. Because once it's all said and done, and you got to sit and be alone, do you like who this person is? And if you don't, you got to learn how to like them.
So I've been doing that more. Like, I go to bar class. I do yoga. I'm meditating now. There's a park by my house.
That's good.
So I walked down to the park the other day, and it's right on the water where I'm looking at all of Manhattan. Bitch, I brought a blunt and was just out there smoking, just looking at, like, people watching. And I love spending time with myself because I'm always around people.
That's
good. So that's something I've been doing.
That can recharge you, too.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's why, like, bitch, I had plans every day this week. I'm recording 7 episodes in a week, like, which is above, like, what I've even put for myself. But last week, I only recorded 1 episode because I was traveling. So I'm like, I'm going above and beyond. And I had plans on Friday. And I said, bitch, I canceled the plan this morning. I said, actually, no, I need a day to myself before I travel again. That's to smart. The West Coast. So I said, girl, hate to do this to you, but got to cancel. Friday is my day to not be around anyone. I'm going to go get my nails done, my toes done, listen to podcasts.
You know, I had to give a break to the phone. Like, literally yesterday, I thought about, I'm going to read you this text I sent a nigga, and I felt kind of bad, but I was like, I just don't like how much I need to keep up with him. So
that's real.
I was like having a stressful work day, and then he called me a few times. And I was like,
while you were working?
No. I had a stressful day with something the day before. And then he was calling to check on me. I said, hey, I know you're feeling ignored. I had a rough weekend, and I'm starting to feel a little bit of pressure with everything I have going on. And when I have a lot happening, I don't want to have a conversation. Even though we just met and I understand I've been talking to you often, I need to slow down.
Oh, what was his response to that?
He said, it's okay, Gila. I understand. Take the time you need. But like,
okay.
People like, and women do this too. So please pay attention to what I'm saying. When someone says they need space, it's genuinely because they do, but there's a slight thing of in there of you annoying them. And sometimes you're annoying them by being too, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Like, please let me come to you. I do not like that.
Okay.
I don't want every time I leave. And a lot of people think that if I'm, say, I'm recording till 3:30 today, mm-hmm. I'm with Mandy today. This was another text. I have a meeting with Mandy. I'm recording until 3:30. Okay, cool. Do you want to meet up for lunch at 4:30? Which I understand. You think that's my free time. It is, but it ain't for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, or, I mean, sometimes when you have a packed, busy day, you don't want to stack it and know that you have to give, you have to keep giving the output to people.
Also,
I agree.
Don't want anybody else to feel offended by this, but I think people need to hear this because there's a lot of clinginess in my life. As someone that lives in 2 cities, people feel like they got to, while you're here for these 2 weeks, take all your time. It's too much. So,
oh, bitch, I'll be telling, now that we travel, especially with the tour, I will let people know, hey, I'm here for work. If I don't see you, I don't see you. But I'm like, every time I travel, people want me, let's do lunch, let's do dinner, let's grab drinks. And it gives me anxiety to have to battle all of these personal relationships on a busy work schedule.
I just did it to Sham Booty, yeah. And I didn't even realize I did it.
Really?
She called me about something. I saw she was in New York. I'm like, oh my God, how long? Let's grab a quick lunch. And I'm like, bro, why would I? Like, I live in the same city as this bitch. Why am I doing this to her? And it's in my brain, I'm like, oh, this is what you do, but it's too much. So
I agree.
The thing I was going to say about clinginess, what was it? Oh, and also, the time that I might be spending online is the time that's just for me.
It's for myself.
A conversation is a lot of work sometimes when you're overworked. And the other thing I want to say, this I feel like is vital. This happened to me twice with other men. It was Alex and Andre. I was with Alex at Central Park with Nina. And yesterday I rode bikes with Andre. These are 2 my platonic friends. While I told other people I was busy or had plans. I didn't really do much, right? I just rode a bike, went to the park. I don't need to talk to these niggas all the time because I hang out with them all the time. Sometimes I have friends that I can do nothing around. Vinny is probably the top friend of that. Right. Vinny and I cannot talk for hours and be in the same room. A lot of people need to fucking, what's new? What's this? It's too much. If I want to be in the presence of another friend, I can do that. You know what I'm saying? By being chill. I almost feel like the way that I could describe it, if you think you're that person, imagine being on vacation and someone filling up your schedule if you're someone that doesn't like to have a schedule. That's what you feel like. Mm. So please, if there's anybody that you know that's been asking you for space, you're probably being a little annoyed.
Just a little bit.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And for a limited time, get more fun for less with the Michigan Bundle for just $49.99. Exclusive to Michigan residents only. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
Dad deserves something really nice for Father's Day, but let's face it, we usually don't do it. Big gifts are for Mother's Day. Picking something up on the way is for Father's Day. Well, let's make Father's Day something this year with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. It whips up over 60 premium cocktails on demand, each ready at the push of a button. And right now, you get $50 off the Bartesian Cocktail Maker when you buy one pack of Dad's favorite cocktail capsules. Dad will publicly love that you saved $50 on the countertop machine that crafts premium cocktails on demand. And he'll secretly love that you splurged on him for Father's Day with the gift of a Bartesian. Because the only thing that lets Dad know he's the world's number one dad better than a world's number one dad coffee mug is an artisan cocktail in his hand. Make Dad's Father's Day and Father's Day cocktails with all natural juices and bitters without making any mess at all. Visit bartesian.com/father to get $50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Well, guys, this is a full vanilla shit episode for our horrible decision. So we're going to go ahead and start off with hope facts. And I found this really cool kinky facts from history that you probably are completely unaware of. And so I'm going to run down this seven. Let me know if you knew that these things were real, existed, and maybe why they didn't fucking teach us it. Because I would have loved to know that one of the most famous pharaohs of ancient Egypt, Tutankhamun, you know I don't know goddamn names like this.
Oh, wait. You're talking about the most famous one. Sorry.
My
phone won't move. Tutankhamun?
Come on. Tutankhamun. His mummified body actually has an erected penis, which stands upright at almost a 90-degree angle. I can already know why maybe this wasn't taught to us while
big
we were learning about.
Nibble.
Not the big dick. It is. It actually looks short and stubby. Not to talk about a dead mummy.
But it ain't supposed to be a soft.
Well, they...
Oh, and not just
up. For reason, they mummified it as an erected penis. So,
honestly,
that's interesting.
I feel like he did kind of, like, ask for it.
That might have been in his will. Mummify me with a big dick.
Yeah.
Mummify me with that hard
like,
bone.
When I'm laid out, put my dick up straight. Pointing to the heavens and the gods, bitch.
Bro, shut the fuck up. Okay, number two. All the brothels in Paris closed for a day when Victor Hugo died. Sex workers even draped their genitals in black crepe as a mark of respect. Now,
black crepe.
That's crazy. It's spelled like crepe. Maybe it's crepe. Creep. What's a? I don't know what a black crepe is, but it says black crepe.
Like a burnt crepe.
It says black crepe. But I don't know if that's like the crepes, like the little flat pancake.
I don't think it is.
It's probably not. Wrapping your genitals in a flat pancake don't make sense.
Oh, maybe a crepe is a wrapping, because a crepe is like, okay.
Look at
like, no, paper mache, like a crepe. Maybe it's called.
Oh, that's possible. Maybe not the pussies, but maybe the dicks. Okay. Another one. In the 1800s, this is interesting because I would love to know how they tested it, but one in five Londoners had an STI. So according to a paper published in Economic History Review, in the last 18th century, one in five Londoners contracted syphilis by their mid-30s. The paper also suggests that a far greater number would have contracted gonorrhea or chlamydia than contracted syphilis also.
What fucking year is this, nigga?
The 1800s. It ain't say which year, but y'all London niggas was fucking raw, nasty, filthy. I'm glad they probably, because in London, well, I'm celibate. I ain't gonna do nothing in London. All right, the other one is...
Girl, don't say that.
I'm not.
That's 60 days away.
I'm not.
I mean...
Universally acknowledged as the father of microbiology, Anthony van Leeuwenhoek discovered sperm by putting his own ejaculation under a microscope. He did this right after copulating with his wife before masturbation was considered a sin at the time.
How small, how tight is the microscope? Because I literally was thinking the other day, like... If you can't see it with the naked eye, because once I had like cum in my eye.
I know we talked about maybe thinking we could see the sperm swimming.
But now even if I squint, it's like I see the light. What is that? I see something.
No, bitch, it's just the stars of the light. Your pupils are becoming dilated.
No, it's not stars. I see some shit y'all niggas don't see.
Oh my God.
Hold
on. Find out you an alien, hoe.
How come
you see little things in the sky?
I can see little bacteria.
It's dust. It ain't even bacteria.
In my eye.
I'm not playing with you.
What are the squiggly things in my vision? The floaters? Whoa.
See?
I was not ready to read this.
What?
Oh, it's clumps.
Cam just wrote eye floaters. Literally, the engineer just wrote eye floaters.
It says the focus light passes through the lens of your eye, heading for the back of the eye, the retina, and it's clumps of protein.
Bitch, and you do be getting cummed on. It's the protein from the nut, bitch.
Depending on your imagination, you could see them as worms, tadpoles, circles, see-through.
Or sperm.
Once the protein clumps together, it makes a floater, and it is a permanent part of your eye.
You got nut permanently in your eye, bitch. Because I can't see that.
Bitch.
The only thing I see is this lash glue that's bothering me. Bitch, I can't stand these strip lashes. I'm working through it. I am working through it. All right, another one. Queen Victoria's sex life is no secret thanks to her own diary. She used to vividly describe her lovemaking with not only her husband, Prince Albert, but also her cousin. By the way, as we know, niggas been gay. Julius Caesar, that's right. He was every woman's man and every man's woman. Julius Caesar was hit with both men and women. He was infamously known as every woman's man and every man's woman. He often cross-dressed and participated in several queer activities and was said to have a wild sex life.
Mm.
That's right. And last one, this one's crazy. I love it. Bunny ears used to mean that you were cheating on your partner. So you know when you're in a photo and you photobomb someone with bunny ears? So this might be cute and fun now. However, the gesture back in the day represented the horns of shame and actually meant that the person was cheating on their partner. So it would be a way for someone to come and be like, this nigga cheating ass nigga. And you got the film developed and the shit was like, ooh, that nigga a cheater.
Oh, bitch, I need to go back and take some pictures.
Bitch.
Me and Obey in Mexico with the bitch he cheated with.
Stop it. Oh, was she out here like this?
No.
She's probably behind you like, yep, fucking with your nigga. Mm,
Maggie probably do that behind her kids' heads.
Stop it.
Bro, you know what's so crazy? When I really sit and think about that shit, Mandy, this punk asshole Maggie was really calling me
that's wild.
Trashy and ratchet. When you're fucking some nigga from across the way that's fucking every bitch in New York.
And
she know your husband.
With your trash yet.
Girl, and I saw a text message where they were supposed to go to Bali, but he canceled on her because he fell in love with me. And she was like, oh, I'm going to bring the GoPro. Simon bought it for me and the kids.
Oh, that's real trash.
Bitch, you're a whore.
Whore.
Might as well come and have a seat.
And speaking of whore, time for our hors d'oeuvre. I found this on fatherly.com, and it's a tip, I think, for both people. So let me know your thoughts on this. A tip that I have to spice up and make your sex life better is hanging out with your partner naked. Now, I talk about how I used to go to the nude beach and clearly sex clubs where, of course, you're naked. But it says, sure.
Love that.
Getting naked often operates as a prerequisite for sex. But skin-to-skin contact can also release oxytocin, a hormone associated with empathy, generosity, and orgasm. Nudity is often also linked to body confidence. So one study found that spending more time naked can help increase body image, which I used to say as well, self-esteem, and life satisfaction. So naturally, the more comfortable we are with ourselves, the more comfortable we will be with a partner.
Mm.
And that feat, small as it may seem, will land you a lot more successful sexual encounters. I agree with that. Maybe watching Netflix naked with your partner. Maybe walking around the house. Don't motherfucking cook bacon naked. I tried it. It's dangerous. It hurts. But maybe even just cooking scrambled eggs.
No. The apron naked is so hot.
The what?
Listen,
but then you ain't naked if you got an apron on. You hide in your gut and shit. You need to enjoy your whole
stuff. Oh, don't cook like that. No.
No? Scrambled eggs don't be popping?
I can't make eggs, so I wouldn't know. I'm allergic.
Okay, but avocado toast. You wouldn't make it naked? That's real low maintenance.
Okay, that's cute.
You gonna spread avocado on the toast?
Low maintenance.
Oh, here you go. Go ahead and talk about how great and gourmet your avocado toast is.
Can't relate that. What I'm saying, I can tell
shit,
you is...
That shit real simple. Spread that motherfucker on the toast. Put a little everything bagel seasoning. Avocado toast is done.
That's not how mine goes.
Oh, you're making eggs?
And that's why I need to come back around.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I don't. I do the cherry tomatoes. I slice it in the middle. Then I'll do the red onions. What?
And look, I'm sick of talking about all the things we do for our niggas in a great way, and they still cheated on our asses.
I mean, this is why at this point,
you need just the everything bagel seasoning, hun.
No, I mean, you have to order me breakfast, but I do think this is also like a weird, very weird era of dating where, I mean, obviously every podcast, you know, lately it feels like we come on here and talk about how niggas ain't shit. I almost have like kind of leaned into it.
Just that niggas ain't shit?
Kind of just like keeping
what does it look like to lean into niggas not being shit?
Just having my expectations low.
Okay.
Not necessarily like, of course, intentional with dating, but not to the point where I'm just like, I know I want a family and children, but I understand the dating landscape is probably like winning a lotto.
Does lowering your expectations mean you lower your standards?
No.
They don't correlate?
No. My standards are my standards. And if I had lower standards, I'd already be married with kids.
Okay.
So my expectations are lowered in the sense of I'm not necessarily being disappointed.
Yeah.
And I'm also not dating the same way that I used to. I'm very good at focusing on one person at a time. Now I kind of don't care for that. That's probably why there are niggas blowing me up, because I don't have time for them.
Mm.
Because fucking other niggas. Mm. Also, I said that to a man 2 nights ago, which I can...
You said what to the man?
And it's the man that I'm most interested in.
Okay. You said what, though?
We were on the phone and I was like, I'm starting to really just think we're not compatible. And it is the man I'm most interested in. He was like, okay. I don't understand why. And I'm like, you told me that you've been seeing some or sleeping with someone. I'm like, he's like, asked me if I had other partners. And I told him about BDD.
Okay.
And he told me about someone he sleeps with more consistently than others. I was like, how long has that been going on for a year? He said for a year. I was like, okay, how does she feel about it? And he's like, I mean, she came to me at one point and said she wanted commitment, but I told her like, no. I was like, so basically she's sticking around because she's waiting for you to give her that.
She's waiting. She's definitely waiting.
He told me like, you're on some like feminist shit where you feel bad for her. And he was like, I'm very clear with what I want and don't want from her.
And so he just doesn't want to be with her.
And I was like,
but he's still entertaining her.
I was like, but you realize like you're showing her that. And I was like, I feel like what you're saying is a little immature. And he's like, I'm not being immature at all. I think you're like worrying about something. He didn't say it in a rude way. He didn't say it like it has nothing to do with you. But he basically mean like, the way she feels shouldn't bother you. And he's like, I've been clear. She knows I'm seeing other people. He's like, aren't you seeing other people? I was like, yeah. But there's no man in my life that's like holding on waiting for me. And I feel like from what you just said,
that she's waiting.
She's waiting.
But it's because you know how women are. And we don't listen to niggas when they tell us exactly what. So to me, I wouldn't have empathy for that because we do that. Which is why with me dating, and I said this on Patreon, I'm dating a little bit more intentionally. If I talk to a man and he's not in a place or he's in, like if he is telling me something that I don't want, even on a sexual, if I know that he can't keep up with my sex drive, I don't want to even waste.
So I said I didn't feel like we were compatible because of his interest in dating other people, like polyamory.
He wants commitment with a lot of people at once.
Well, he said that like he enjoys that and like she's cool with that. I said, well, I'm telling you this right now. I'm not.
You're not poly.
Right. I was like, or are you dating other people? I was like, if I ever got to a point where I was very interested in you, this wouldn't be cool with me. So I don't really think this is going to work out because I don't want to do this.
Now, is this because of the last relationship? Because I remember like, I guess you considered it open, but you used to be like, oh no, I would want him to take a girl on a date. Like I wouldn't want him to just fuck someone. So are you now saying moving forward, you actually are seeking monogamy?
Yeah, I've been saying that the last few pods.
Okay.
Like, I have my life structured to where at some point I can spend more time in New York or more time in LA, right? Like it just kind of depends where I meet that person.
And this means you're open as well then to a relationship where you no longer can play with women?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if that person was down for threesomes, great. Okay. But I mean, look, I'm going to keep it a bean. Right now I do 2 weeks on and off.
What type of bean? Butter or pinto? No, I'm just go ahead.
Black. Just how I like it.
That's a Mexican.
I keep my schedule down the middle because I think it's fair and now I move my parents to LA. But bitch, right. If I met a nigga in LA, I'd be like, Mandy, these are the 3 days we're going to do horrible that I can do. It wouldn't be like, hey, I've got 10 days pick.
Right.
I'm trying to, you know, this is what I feel like is fair to everybody right now. But bitch, if I fall in love, fuck all y'all hoes. For real. And you know what? Shout out to Brianda because we were hanging out last week. No, she's not dead. I've been joking about that.
Yo, someone just texted me about her and was like, yo, what happened, old girl? She fell off the earth.
She really did. She's just not online. Like,
well, I think like as podcasters, like a lot of people really enjoyed her pod. And then she disappeared from the internet, from everywhere.
Honestly, I did that.
You did it.
It felt really good when I did it. So like, I also get it because she's like able to hold it out. No, we were out. We were kicking it. But we were at brunch. I was like, girl, it's so nice to spend this time with you because when I get wiped up, I'm done. She was like, I hate when people act like their friends owe them the world. Like, if I get a man, it's natural that I'm going to have less time for you.
Wow.
And I'm thinking...
I think that I'm going through that right now with a friend. The friendship has completely changed because of her relationship. And a part
changed
of me...
like what? Well, her availability to you?
Bitch, I ain't talked to her in months. And we used to talk every day. And so I literally was just like, hey, so...
Does she live with them?
No. And so to me, if that relationship ends, I want you to know you've no longer created a safe space where I feel like I can depend on you as a friend. The friendship is ending. I actually will not be friends with anybody. Our friendship will be demoted to association and I won't show up for you anymore if you are the type of woman who completely disassociates when you got a nigga.
Okay, wait.
I'm good on that.
Wait.
Swear to God.
I'm not saying disassociate. I've always been on the phone with my bitches. Wait. Let's talk for a second.
If the way you show up for me as a person changes because you're in a relationship,
Showing up?
Like in terms of...
If she's unavailable to go out with you.
No, how we communicate. When I'm in your city, I don't see you. I don't know about your life. Also, if anybody... We follow each other, clearly.
Ooh, I don't know about your life? Ooh, let's dig into that because I don't like that.
That's the thing. We haven't spoken in months. You see my thoughtful ass captions. I'm going fucking through it emotionally. You knew the relationship I was just in. You met him. You knew how much I loved him. And you clearly see me going through it. Like, I'm clearly going through it to all of my friends.
Oh, she hasn't reached out to you.
She hasn't even checked on me.
Oh, that's fucked up.
My point. So I'm like,
oh, no,
and
fuck
it's because
her.
You got a nigga? Oh, no. So I told her we recently talked. And I was like, yo, I want you to know, like, I'm not going to bang with you if this is how you continue showing up with this friendship. And if this relationship means this much to you, wish you the best.
What did they say?
I no longer will be available to you. She said, we have to talk because there's a lot. She's making it. And I don't know if it's one of those where she's embarrassed by the relationship and has just been trying to make it work so hard.
Why would she be embarrassed?
Because niggas embarrass you. And I know that as women, we overshare
her relationship. Sorry.
Well, I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if he's been abusive. I found out after my friends were in abusive relationships after the fact that they were abusive because they were embarrassed by it.
Right, right.
So there's a lot of different reasons. And I was like, well, I'd like to talk about it because right now, from a selfish place, I don't feel safe with you. I'm in a space where I can't count on you.
This is a good topic because we've been talking about breakups. Okay. Yeah. So here's a few things that I talked about with Brianda. I said, you know, I'm a girl's girl where I like to share. And I want you to share with me and feel comfortable enough, right? Right? Like, I have a friend in my life that I've always felt like hid things from me. We don't have any mutual friends. It's not like I could share her business, but like she'll get emotional and stop.
Okay.
And I called Brianda one day and I was like, why did she do this to me? Why did she get to this point where she feels like...
But she may feel... To me, she may feel like you're going to judge her.
It's vulnerability, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, but I can't do it. Especially when I've shown myself. Right? It's very, very, very tough for me to feel like I have a woman in my life that just can't or they're holding back. It's really, really tough because with my guy friendships, I don't go there like that much. So with my girls, I do.
Right.
So I was like, that I don't like. So when you just said not knowing her life, it triggered me.
Yeah.
Because I was like,
and that's a problem for me, especially when you're a friend that we literally talked every day. We traveled together. We made plans together. We did all these things together. And then you got with this man and everything fucking changed.
That's hard.
And it's been a relationship now. I think they may be at like the 10-month mark or something. But I literally like had to tell her. I said, that hurts me. And I don't know what this relationship looks like. But also the fact that I feel like you haven't checked in on me and I don't know anything about this partner. I don't know anything about your life for the last 5 months. That is a problem for me.
So
you will be demoted. The friendship contract will be burnt.
When I said that, I expect less of their time. So I said it on Patreon, but basically, I think about this trip I took to Ibiza a lot with my friends because it was random. It was 3 days. I was supposed to be in Europe for work. Oh, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, it didn't work out. Then we all go, we partied. There was a nigga that told me I was outside because he saw me in Spain. He was like, oh, you out. You doing this. You ain't got time for a nigga. And I was like, I don't have time for a nigga. Like, if you were my nigga, I probably wouldn't be on this trip.
Valid. Or you would be here with me.
If any of the people on the fucking trip I was on was not single, we wouldn't have been together.
Right.
We got a fucking huge villa with 3 bedrooms. And we had our own wings. Got back together at the pool, talk shit, went back. Like, do you understand I'm doing this because I'm single?
Because I'm single.
Now. What I mean by that is the friendships that I have now, while great and fruitful, bitch, if I get a man, I ain't going to Ibiza.
Right. Valid.
Bro, I've traveled with 3 of my homeboys this summer to Europe and fucking like, or 3 times, sorry, with different friends, just bouncing around like, I'm not going to be doing that shit.
Yeah, I agree.
Bro, when I was in Israel last summer and Alex surprised me and we were like kicking it together, I can't imagine if I had a nigga while I'm 11 p.m. watching TV with my homeboy and he's like, what the fuck are you doing, bitch? Things right. will change.
Yeah.
Now, I expect the same thing with my girlfriends, right? Like, I expect you to have less time for me, and that's totally okay because we're all busy. I don't really have a friend who ain't busy. So I do expect, if you have some free time, go take a trip with your nigga for Labor Day, bitch. Why the fuck is you coming with me to Montauk? Why? Doesn't make sense. But I think there does need to be a healthy balance. And I've definitely made mistakes when I was younger, not with old bae, but younger, where I was like, damn, I forgot to like check on them. Or don't do this, anybody. When you do call your friends, it's because you need them.
But that's my point.
Oh, bitch, because you ain't about to call me.
Because when you break up with this nigga, I'm not going to be here for you to lean on. And I just said it verbatim. Like, you haven't been here for me as a friend. So like the safety net of our friendship no longer exists.
Uh-huh.
If you can get with a nigga and completely forget about our responsibilities emotionally as friends to each other.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And for a limited time, get more fun for less with the Michigan Bundle for just $49.99. Exclusive to Michigan residents only. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series. A smart TV built by the streaming pros.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dad deserves something really nice for Father's Day, but let's face it, we usually don't do it. Big gifts are for Mother's Day. Picking something up on the way is for Father's Day. Well, let's make Father's Day something this year with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. It whips up over 60 premium cocktails on demand, each ready at the push of a button. And right now, you get $50 off the Bartesian Cocktail Maker when you buy one pack of Dad's favorite cocktail capsules. Dad will publicly love that you saved $50 on the countertop machine that crafts premium cocktails on demand. And he'll secretly love that you splurged on him for Father's Day with the gift of a Bartesian. Because the only thing that lets Dad know he's the world's number one dad better than a world's number one dad coffee mug is an artisan cocktail in his hand. Make Dad's Father's Day and Father's Day cocktails with all natural juices and bitters without making any mess at all. Visit bartesian.com/father to get $50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Now, can I ask you this without you feeling like it's a mean question, but be honest, because we've all been there.
Yep.
Have you been someone that maybe is dumping too much or too sad to talk to?
No. I think I'm actually the friend that's why I said maybe.
I'm saying this, during your breakup.
Like, nah, but that's why I have a therapist.
Okay.
I know I dump quite a bit. I mean, on my show, this is, y'all are on the journey with me. I'm going to share with y'all. But with my friends, no.
Oh, like, you just do it to the listeners?
Oh, yeah, quite a bit to the listeners. But I have a therapist. Like, I've been working through emotionally.
Okay, when well, if you're not...
When me and my friends talk, bitch, we be talking about the housing market, work, jobs, the blog shit. We love gossiping about the blog shit.
Me too. That's my favorite.
Me and my friends' conversations aren't dumping, really. Like, literally, my friend is back in the hospital, like, running tests because we don't know what's happening, if cancer's back or anything. Like, my other friend has a fucking ice cream shop. Shout out to Cereal and Cream in Atlanta. So we literally talk about running businesses, dealing with employees. Like, I love the conversations I have with my friends. And we oftentimes don't dump. I think that that's the great thing. We plan
that's
our
good.
Next trip.
A lot of people can do that during that phase. And if you caught yourself.
Bitch, and that's why I told you too. That's why I'm getting a sex and therapist coach. I think that there's things my friends can't help me with.
Vinny told me that it was our only real fight. And it was years ago when I lived in Orlando and I was breaking up with the Latino dude that like loved Jesus. And he was like, girl, you do not ask me about me. And I was like, oh my God. And it's like, I'm telling you, it was 8 years ago. It really was. And it literally has lasted this long because I can't, if I even need to call him, I'll tell him like, oh, it's okay, talk about you. And he's like, girl, just talk. Because I really get scared to do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to ever be that person. So if, like, you know, you feel like you may be doing that right now,
I tell my friends all the time, if you don't want to hear this shit, cool. But I also know not to, like, that's why I said I'm getting two ladies. I'm going to another lady to talk to. Because, bitch, bring all the ladies.
What do you think about getting a male therapist?
I don't even trust them niggas. I'm good. Nope.
I'm saying like
it's too
the counterbalance maybe.
Yeah. I mean, right now it's my therapist now is a black lady and the person that I'm going to go to for sex and relationship coaching is also a Black woman.
I have two different therapists. I have one when I want to be coddled and one when I want to know what's going on in my
head. Well, I don't know how the sex and coach therapist will be, but she is a lifestyler. And she did do a year of celibacy. And the partner she has now, she found after her journey of celibacy. Mm. So to me, there's just some relatability in maybe what my journey may look like.
Liz Goldwyn is great to talk to celibacy about. I've actually told her recently, I was like, just fucking act on your body. Just fucking do it. Fuck these niggas. Well, not niggas, because, but you know what I mean? I was like, just do it. And I remember thinking to myself, like, damn. We're laughing about it on the phone and having a fun moment. She was like in London traveling. But I was like, ooh, I wonder if that was triggering because she's really serious about her spirituality journey and her celibacy.
I want to apologize to that community too. Because I used to come on here and be like, I'm celibate just because I was on some fuck nigga shit at the time. And then as soon as 24/7 or anybody hit my fucking phone, I hopped into the bed. So even using celibacy.
Wait, so are you jokingly, actually celibate then?
Bitch. I cried at the thought of a man touching my body. My body is rejecting the idea of being intimate with a guy right now. Like,
can you masturbate?
Oh, I do that.
I'll tell y'all this.
I'm doing
that. I got so depressing and stressy once, bitch. I watched porn, masturbated, and started crying.
Oh, I mean, luckily I watched like
gay porn.
Again, so what I'm watching is not even getting me into the thought process of being with somebody.
Hetero porn.
But
fucked me
I am in a space where I physically, bitch, I went into tears. My whole body, like, got tight. And that's where, like, I even want to be on, like, I'm like, oh, no, this shit is real. And I need to get comfortable with what that means before I even trust a man to literally be inside of me again.
Yeah.
And it's scary for me. I literally, like, was in tears talking to my therapist. I let her know, bitch, I'm getting somebody else to talk to because I don't think this is your space. But I was like, bro, to literally tighten up at the thought of a man touching me scared me. I said, oh, nah, this is really about to be said.
When I did pelvic floor therapy, it was for physical abuse, but
this is emotional abuse. I know.
Bro, it's crazy because this is how sometimes our brain can work. I've maybe told this story on Horrible before, but just to reiterate. So I had a guy that was abusing me and he took me to the gynecologist and I didn't even realize how terrible of a person he was that he was in the room with me when they were checking my vagina.
Oh, wow.
And
T.I.
Oh, he was disgusting. And I was doing pelvic floor therapy where I went twice a week and they put this wand in you and does this butterfly effect, which is now, interestingly enough, known as something that can tighten your muscle. It basically helps you work your Kegel muscles. And so everybody thought, and I did too, and I didn't even realize it's because he was in the room, that I was tensing up because I was scared.
Mm.
And I needed to let go, or there was some tension in my body, vaginismus, whatever. Bitch cheated on him with a doorman
with
from
a doorman
23
from the club,
who was just always sweet to me and nice, and we'd flirt and talk.
He said that dick was fire.
It was, and I just had a little crush, right? And so when the crush happened, and I got excited about someone and started feeling good and safe, and I had sex with them, no issues, and I literally walked in. The fucking doctor the next day, it was a woman, a nurse that was doing it every time. And I told her, I was like, I had sex with someone else and I didn't have the issue.
Wow.
She said, well, I will do these so that he knows you're coming here and we can practice. She was like, but this is therapy now. Like,
I mean, I'll say, like, Felon Bay came over the other day because we haven't seen each other in years. And he came over the other day and we were just watching Netflix and eating. He knows I'm celibate. He ain't even try me, thank God. But he just wanted me to lay on him. And his hand touching my knee made me feel really like, I was like, so I tried to lay a different way where I just laid my legs over him, but I didn't want him to touch me. And then it was really weird because it wasn't a date, but I linked up with the 22-year-old and we just got drinks.
Who is the 22-year-old?
That's going to be his name for right now, the 22-year-old.
Wait, I don't even know where the source of the...
Well, you said what?
I don't even know how this person came about.
I've known him for a long time.
Okay.
And,
how long have you known him, buddy?
I know. That's what I said. I said, I ain't even going to be able to tell nobody. I'm just going to say I've known him for a few years.
You didn't know him at 17?
No, I didn't know him at 17.
Okay.
I knew him right before.
Said a long time. Can't be that long.
I knew him right before he was going to college, though. So when he was 18. Anyway, we never talked. He always lived in a different state. His college was in a different state. Then he got drafted. So ball player, of course. And anyway, he was in town and we went out. And it was crazy because I told him, he was like, I was telling him about I'm celibate. And I was like, yeah, I just broke up. How long were y'all together? 3 years. He said, nigga, you was in my phone while we, during the last 3 years. And I was like, nigga, Snapchat. And we broke up 13 times. But all those times I like ghosted you or didn't see you when you came to town, I was back with him. And so he was like, okay, that makes sense. But literally I found myself, because he was so like easy to talk to, me touching him. And I was like, oh, this has been different because I have not wanted to. So I was like, okay, maybe I just have to feel comfortable with somebody.
Yeah.
And I was like, not a 22-year-old.
Also, new experiences. And this is why sometimes spinning the block isn't always great.
You might be right.
Because
this is a new nigga, never met him.
New experiences give you a new, like, spinning the block is easy when you just want dick.
But when, to know that we had been
you need
intimate,
to get a little bit of a feeling.
Even Felon Bay was like, you know, if I ain't get locked up again, you was going to be my bitch, right? And so even knowing he still has this, he did. Bitch, the one time
I cooked for him. Niggas I fucked?
Bitch, he brought, I told, like, there was the one time I actually cooked for him, and that nigga broke,
if he wasn't that light, it might have been me.
You know, so, like, to me, I was like, ooh, maybe even really, like, considering someone that's not in my Rolodex is something that, like, all of this is new. I don't know how to navigate this shit, but I'm being very forthright. Sex is not going to happen anytime soon. And as long as you're okay with that, I was like, let's do axe throwing. Let's go to Dave and Buster's. Like,
bro, let me just tell you, I Googled the other day things to do that aren't a comedy club, and here's why.
Okay.
I have been going on dates to places that I frequent or just places that, like...
Oh, I don't want to take nobody to my frequented
not,
place.
Not, like, frequent, but, like a place that I know is, like, an easy place to go.
Okay.
So it'll be one of the Sozo houses or, like, a Last Lap sometimes, like, or even in L.A., maybe I'm doing the same shit. And I'm realizing when I'm going out with new niggas that may not even know I have a podcast.
Oh.
I'm running into...
Fans?
Yes.
Is that a problem?
I mean... Okay. And I don't want this to stop anyone from saying hello to me because I want you to understand that as someone that was a huge fan, I always talk about Bodega Boys. I can't imagine running into my favorite podcaster and not being able to say, what's up? I'm not bothered at that. I'm just starting to realize like, oh, like this is the thing that happens when you're dating someone new. Now I'm seeing you experience Wheezy.
Wheezy.
When you ain't know you was going out with Wheezy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to lie. I told the 22-year-old, because we talked about the mixy places, and he brought up Pergola. And I said, nigga, I don't want to be seen out with you yet. I don't know you like that. You don't know me, but also I don't want people to see us together. Like, he's a somebody. And so I'm like, oh, no, I don't need to be connected to you yet. Let's make sure we vibe with each other. So we went to a very low-key bar. It was all white people in that bitch. And
that shit is comfortable.
We sat and had drinks. Nobody knew me, but I let him know, nah, niggas know me.
So,
and so I need to make sure you're not finna be embarrassing for people to see you with me.
I went to a place, y'all gotta go here. It's called Cadence. It's a vegan soul food restaurant on 7th.
Okay.
Damn, I'm not vegan. Went there with
and it was
this
good.
Bitch.
They seasoned that bitch up right.
I had the fake crab cake. I don't know. But anyway, went there on the first date It was the third date. I went on a date with the dude the first night. And it was a great date. I went back because the food was so good. The bartender told me she listens to Horrible. Shout out to you if you're there.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God. I saw her last night and she didn't say anything to me, which is cool.
Right.
But I was like, damn, you never fucking know, bitch.
No, you don't.
And what if I'm sitting there? Mandy ain't shit. And they're like, oh,
I don't do that anymore.
But I mean.
No, I don't talk shit about you. I don't talk shit about. Anybody?
But like, even anything in my life.
If I get into an Uber and they black, I don't talk. I swear to God. I'm not saying shit. The only time I even talk to my friends in an Uber is if I see the Uber is written all in Mandarin, Chinese, and they don't speak English, or it's like an old...
Oh, that's not true, bitch. We had a motherfucking Uber driver in Dallas, and Mandy was giving it up.
Yeah, but I knew he wasn't a fan. Like, I was giving it up. But, like, when I'm by myself, I ain't gonna talk shit about nobody. I can talk shit about my ex. That's what I was talking shit
bro,
about.
Bro, let me tell you how real this shit is, bro, about talking shit. Me and Alex were talking... We weren't even talking shit, actually. And I'm not just saying that because we're recording right now. We were talking about the Just Hilarious shit.
Okay.
It was in its prime.
Right.
And he was like, yo. And I was like, oh, my God, she hasn't been on the Breakfast Club. Do you think that iHeart won't want her? Da-da-da-da-da. And then he's talking to me, and he's giving me his opinions. And Alex was very pro, like... This wasn't a good video. Like, right. I don't like what I just saw. But then we were out, and I remember he was like,
No, literally, you can't talk about
because
people.
It makes
you can't talk about nobody.
It's gonna make someone think, yo,
yeah. Especially if they know you. We've definitely rocked with Jess. You can't talk about nobody. Yeah, you can't even have an opinion about nobody anymore.
Yeah, you can't.
You just can't.
It's tough.
Have it in your mind. Talk about it in your with your friends.
Bitch, because they gonna tell.
Bitch, I ain't gonna hold you. You know how paranoid I be. Bitch, I will be talking shit about somebody and I'll be opening my hallway door just to see if anybody can hear me.
Yo!
I'll be doing that shit. Ooh, like,
bitch, I know you talking shit.
I be talking shit. I'll be like, let me make sure that nigga ain't outside my door. The people don't even live sometimes.
Ooh,
in the
bitch,
state.
I'm trying to think like, about the last time I talked some good shit like
bitch,
that.
Bitch, and I'll be like, let me make sure I can't nobody
oh,
hear
when
this
I had
shit.
The woman to woman call?
Girl.
Oh, bitch. I opened my motherfucking hallway twice, like, this fuck, nigga, because I had just blocked it. Okay, Mandy has a home mail that she wants us to get to.
Y'all, we will get to vanilla shit another time, but clearly we talked about it. Oh, I wasn't even going to get to even the home mail. I was just going to be like, y'all send a home mail in, but you want to get through it? We'll get to it. Okay, home mail. Guys, we need more home mail, so make sure you email us your sex or dating or relationship questions so we can provide you with some advice.
Please.
This one's, send it to horribledecisions@gmail.com, please. This says, hi, ladies. I'm a year and a half out of a 15-year relationship. Bitch, I can't even imagine. I won't go into detail about the breakup, but long story short, the nigga was a serial cheater. Aren't they all? But we have a kid, so we have a solid co-parenting relationship. I sometimes think about hitting him up just for sex, but I don't know if he can handle that without catching feelings. And truthfully, after all I put up with him, he doesn't deserve to even taste my pussy again. I realized recently that I haven't had much sexual experience outside of him, but I'm ready to explore sex in my 30s. I haven't had many partners, and I wouldn't say I've had great sex with partners really outside of my ex. I just want to have new and fun sexual experiences where a man can teach me new things in the bedroom while getting good dick. But I don't know where to find him. I'm so out of the game, I don't know how to do this. I've been on a few dates that have gone nowhere. How do I get out there and explore? I'm not a fan of dating apps because they haven't led anywhere. I think I'm cute, but I don't often get approached by men. Where do I find a man who will dick me down and help me explore my sexuality in a new and empowering way?
She was cute.
Help me get laid. Thanks, ladies. Signed, a sexually frustrated woman in her 30s.
She sent her pic.
I mean, my, and this is just because...
Niggas don't come up to you, girl.
Well, no. To me, if you want dick and a sexually empowering experience with someone who's a bit more experienced with you, but you don't like dating apps, this is going to seem like I'm telling you to jump off a cliff with it, but the sex club. And I say that because it's where you can actually, like, a lot of the
Where does
men,
she live?
I don't know where she lives. She didn't put where she lives.
Can I just say what I just had come to my mind?
Okay.
Sorry. I have ADD and I have to pee, so now it's jumbled. I saw her picture and I was like, she is cute. I think we need to match people up on our Instagram. I think we should get consent, have people send in their pics, and fucking put them out there. Beat them to the walls, nigga. Let's start doing it.
I don't know if I want that responsibility, but you're more than
Listen,
welcome.
Every podcast takes shit we do anyway.
You're right.
Might as well try something new so they could steal that too.
That could be cool. I mean, it sounds like work. So,
it's just a pic. We already have a social media manager. Post a picture. Give us some facts about you. And niggas will slide in your DMs. I say we do it.
Instagram to me is like a dating app, though.
It is.
Yeah. And she says she doesn't like meeting guys on dating apps.
Yeah, because she has to put in fucking work.
Well, that's why, like, to me, it's a little less work at a sex club, personally.
True. But also, I think we about to start this by the time y'all hear this episode.
I mean, I'm down to do that. I do think it's hard as well. Like, I guess out the gate in the caption has to be, like, things she's curious about and wants to explore. Because she clearly said
yes.
She wants to meet a guy who can teach her some things in the bedroom.
I was in an article it was when we first started the podcast. I was in Time Out magazine. Tiana just found it for me. I was in a section called Undateables.
Yeah.
And they set me up on a date with someone. Oh my God, I'm 32 years old. Gila, 25, account exec for a telecommunications firm living in Midtown West. Why is she single? Doesn't often meet people she connects with and might be picky. Ideal date. Bitch, don't change up. Dinner at a hip meatpacking restaurant, then drinks at a dive bar. I've always been that girl. Now, basically, I think we could do something like this for people because the difficult thing about dating apps is you're swiping, it's difficult. Then you got to make the connection. Then you got to meet. It's like a lot of like back and forth. What do you like? What do you not like? Sometimes it feels great to just be, what's the word I'm looking for?
What was the one I wanted a few weeks ago? Catcalled.
Oh,
no.
It was catcalled.
Basically just having someone like come to you and be intentional.
You want someone to pursue you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bitch, you want to be pursued. You don't want it to seem like you're begging for the attention of man. You want a man to be, take initiative and really show that he wants you.
Yes.
And it's not just the small talk. I realized I don't like small talk. So even I realized with the 22-year-old, he was like, oh, no, not 3 days later. And I realized, I said, I'm really bad with communication. I'm sorry that you feel like I took 3 days to see you when I know we wanted Sunday and I waited till Tuesday to see you.
Right.
So, and I was like, oh, dang, he really felt a waste and he voiced it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, my bad for that because I really do want to see you. So we might see each other again tonight.
That's great. Hey, look at us on dates tonight.
But I like him even saying like, dang, like, I hate that you, like, not 3 days later. That was kind of fucked up. Did you? And I was like, that's really my bad. And I shared him my calendar, my schedule. I said I had just gotten back from Greece. I was really tired. I was jet lagged. And how much
I need to see what this 22-year-old look like.
A girl. Does he look, I ain't even gonna hold you. I said, man.
He looked 22.
I told him to his face. I said, your little Instagram ain't really do you justice, nigga. You cute. With your little cute ass.
Look at Mandy getting back in the game.
Like, his brown eyes are beautiful. And I was just like, oh, you cute.
We about to do hottie of the week. I don't know what I'm gonna call it. We gonna call it something of the week. And I'm gonna put your motherfucking ass on blast.
And we gonna have y'all single bitches get some dick, okay?
And niggas.
And listen, for the niggas that also are having a hard time finding like-minded, freaky-ass women, nigga, come to a Horrible Decisions live show. Go to whorehive.com. You could bring a homeboy. You could come as a single man.
Come on, Segu.
But you will find your community and you will find some single girls looking to have some fun after and for the long haul, okay? So go on over to whorehive.com. Get your tickets now. We are hitting up Orlando. We are hitting Atlanta. Charlotte is sold out. But for people that maybe won't be able to attend, we'll make sure that it's available on our Instagram, horrible_decisions, where we can kind of let y'all share if you're selling tickets.
For any sold out shows upcoming, I think Orlando's probably in, Atlanta will sell out. We're going to do the same thing where you guys can do a ticket exchange instead of like buying
so
possibly a big ticket.
Please look and see if there's any tickets available in those cities. But also we are in London on October the 28th. So London, UK, if you missed the show back on Valentine's Day, or if you had to work the next day because our last show in London was on a Tuesday, this show was on a Saturday. You could sleep in. You could fuck right after. It's fucking crazy. We getting lit with the Halloween costumes. So the sluts are going to be slutting, okay? So again, go to whorehive.com and get your tickets now. Thank you guys so much. Also join our Patreon. It's patreon.com/horrible decisions. Thank you guys so much again for listening to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Bye.
Bye.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
That
world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.